welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Features Podcast. Today I have a fabulous guest all the way from the Laughing Dog Film Festival. Thank you for submitting your film. Michael Sharon's film, First Impressions, is available somewhere. I'm sure he'll tell us eventually. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So, you have a very short short. I mean, it's 5 minutes, a little bit. How do you prep for this? Or are you just like, nope, I know it's going to be 5 minutes? That's easy.
So it's 8 minutes. It's a little bit longer than that. I was going to say it's tough to do something that short, right? And 8 minutes is the shortest that I've done, right? And I have a problem. A couple films back was 17 minutes, right? And you know, I had trouble with festivals with that because it's pretty long, right? And so like the next film after that, I was like, it's going to be 10 minutes, and it ended up being 12, right? And so this one, I was like, I wanted 8, and it's actually like 8:40, right? So it's still tough. But you know, it was just kind of mapped around the simple idea of the guy being able to do impressions, right? And so I just kind of built it on the rule of threes in comedy and having three setups, right? And going through that.
So hold on, let's back this up. So yeah. Do you find making an 8 minute short harder than making a 17 minute short? Then
yeah, as a writer, let's put it that way. So as a writer, I do, yes. Because it's, I don't know, I'm not very good at telling like a simple story, like everything in my head, I'm trying to find like, you know, all kinds of pieces and things to put together. So, you know, you've got to find the way to hone it down to the least amount of dialogue, the least, you know, twists and things like that, that actually the things that work. And I'm always trying to put too much into it.
Okay. So did you always have your lead in mind? I'm talking about Eric Anderson. Obviously, most of your cast are leads, but I would say he's the true lead of the show.
Yes.
Short.
Yeah. I've actually known Eric for over 20 years. He's been in everything that I make. Right. So, this was actually, 2 years ago, we were in the middle of crowdfunding an action comedy that we in 2 days will be 2 years. And then obviously, you know, that March of 2020 is when everything shut down. Right. So we were not able to do that. And so it was just trying to find something that we could do to stay creative and fun. And so this, the concept for this is.
Are you there? Uh-oh.
And with the least amount of people as possible.
Stop. Go back to the 2 year mark. Cause we just, my internet connection says it's unstable, but I don't know why. Cause there's nobody up at this time. So go back to there and I'll just edit it for there.
Okay. So, you know, it's been 2 years since COVID happened, right? And that's right when we had finished crowdfunding this action comedy short. They required a lot of people, right? And so we had to shut that down. We're still in the process of trying to get that back going. But it was trying to find something we could do to stay creative and have fun. And so I already had this concept because Eric is so good at impressions. Was to find some way to like build something around that. So this was written with the intention of it's forecast. We literally had three people on the crew, including me. And just, you know, cause this was before vaccinations, we shot it in November of 2020. But yes, it was definitely, you know, knowing Eric and his impressions is why I wrote this.
So did you pick the impressions or do you work with him on the impressions? Saying, what do you suggest we use for this scene?
It was a little of both. I told him, send me a list of the impressions that you are the most comfortable with and feel the best at. And then I picked from those. I picked the ones that were the most, like broadest, trying to be able in the film to appeal to the most people. But then there's things like my favorite impression of his is Bobcat Goldthwait. Right. And so I had to sneak that into the credits because I love it, but not everyone knows that voice. So
I guess people are getting too young. I mean, you had to see Police Academy and everybody knows Bobcat Goldthwait from Police Academy.
Yeah. I mean, our generation, but like, you know, younger kids don't know who he is. I mean, people might know him now as a filmmaker, right? And like, he's doing comedy again, but he doesn't do the voice. So it's not as well known.
Fair enough. So I found your short very fast paced for an 8 minute and 40 seconds. Yeah. And your dialogue is wonderful. I thought it really did feel like a true setting. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering, did you ever have a dinner party or a date like this?
No. Fortunately, no, I have not.
So do you like to have board games and stuff on your thing, or is just your MacGuffin?
Yeah, actually, I don't like board games really at all. I don't like them at all. I partially because I'm a very competitive person, and like – I have to learn a new game, and how am I going to win at this? And like, I just don't like it. I did a bar trivia movie a couple back. That's the 17-minute one, and like, that's something I do love. That was like my labor of love of something that I'm really into.
That's funny. So you wrote a whole short about something you hate.
I mean, it was a premise to get him to do impressions, right? I was trying to figure out.
No, I understand that.
Right? Yeah. But yeah,
that's pretty funny, I think. So, do you have an audience reaction when he does his impressions and the other person does their impressions?
Yes.
And people just get angry?
Yes.
At the other people? Like, you must be experiencing that.
Yes. There's a line where Diana Rose's character says to him, you know, maybe we should, if you're not, maybe we should do something that you're good at, right?
Yes.
And I've multiple times had screenings where someone in the audience is just like, oh God, like, just like, can't take it.
So is that something you would look forward to as a writer? Did you put that in?
Yes.
So that must make you happy then.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's been very good. I mean, my intention with the film is that like, I dressed Eric in that awful bowling shirt and that necklace and the spiky hair because I wanted everyone to hate him as soon as they see him, right? To just be like, this guy is just a total douchebag. But as the film goes on, you start to have empathy for him and hate everyone else, right? And so I wanted to kind of have that as a writer. I wanted to like flip it on the, flip the script there.
I could see that. I just didn't see him with her was really my issue. I kind of like him. I'm like, this does not look like a couple, but you know, opposites attract, I guess, is what I'm thinking going in. And then I felt at the beginning of the short, I mean, obviously it's a comedy short, but it could have been a horror short because I didn't reread anything about it. So I was thinking maybe this guy gets eaten alive at one point. And before they even enter the room, I'm thinking, she goes, oh, I'm very competitive. I'm like, oh, maybe we're going horror here. Who knows? Was that ever an idea?
No, I hadn't gone with that.
Fair enough. You do not show the coin toss. How come? No time?
Well, I mean, he does flip the coin. See the actual coin?
Yes.
Yeah. We actually had an intention that we were at one point thought about like the, when he's doing the shuffling, we were going to do something like that with the coin flip and all of that. And we just didn't have time to shoot it.
Fair enough. Now, when he gets ready for an impression, does he just automatically in character? Does it take him a couple minutes or just click?
Yeah, I mean, he can just go right into it. Yeah. Yeah.
So what are the outtakes like on this? Is he just riffing on everything?
Not as much as you think. No, he's pretty, you know, it was pretty well scripted. So he was sticking straight to that.
So you didn't even let them brunch off there. That was it. You're like, we're going to do this. This is what we're doing. It's COVID. Got to get in, out, and move along.
Yeah. I mean, it was all done in two nights on a weekend and just done real quick. And I mean, like I said, this was in November 2020. So it was pre-vaccinations, anything like that. So it was, I say that this is my simplest short I've ever made because it had the least amount of people in one location. But it was also the most stressful, right? Because it was just like, you know, it was a matter of like making sure everyone's safe and making sure everyone knows that I'm trying to keep them safe. And like, how can we do this? Right. So it was tough, but it was also, you know, November of 2020. So at this point, no one had been making any films of this group of us since March. And so it was just this release of getting to be funny and make something and be creative.
So is this your regular group? I haven't seen some of the other films. I apologize. So
Yeah. I mean, so it's the same crew that I work with. And like I said, Eric has been in everything that I make. It was the first film that I'd done with Alicia Rivera, but we're working on other projects together. And Diana has been, she's actually the lead in that action comedy that we're still in the process of making. And then Chadwick, who played the other male in there, he and I have made several films together too. The last film that we actually just released online yesterday, You're the Puppet. He's a puppeteer and he actually created the puppet for it and performed it and all of that.
Well, you're just like a renaissance man. You could do it all. You have an action comedy, you have this.
So how do you
work on your ideas? Do you have a book of ideas or do you just wake up in the middle of the night and scribble something down? How does that work?
I mean, it's just kind of like different things, right? So like, I had a few films back. I made this gentrification comedy, and it was this one wild night thing that this guy goes through, and that was a story that a friend had happened. Like, the basis of it came from a story that happened to a friend that I love to tell at parties, right? And then, like, I was like, oh, I should make this into a movie. And then Random Knowledge was my trivia film that's, like, I just love playing bar trivia. We used to go, you know, several nights a week and play, and we're real competitive. And so I was like, I got to make a movie about this, right? I met Chadwick on that film, and he tells me he's into puppets and he makes puppets, and I'm a massive fan of the Muppets growing up, and it's still a big part of me. And, like, I was immediately like, oh, I have this resource now. So I wrote You're the Puppet, which is also about stand-up comedy, which I also love. So it's like finding these different things. And First Impressions came from Eric just being such a good impressionist that I came up with this concept, you know, a way to use that and take a twist on it, right?
Well, so was Eric's impressions always, I presume, always could be the end credits, him doing different voices the whole time?
No, it was just a thing that I came up with an idea. I firmly believe that short films should A, have short credits, and B, they should be entertaining, right? I sometimes go to a festival screening and there's a short film that's, you know, 8 minutes long and has 4 minutes of credits, right? And so, like, I feel like I'm always finding some way to entertain through the credits. And so the idea came from, like I said, some of these, like, Bobcat Goldthwait and some of these impressions that I love didn't make it into the film. So I was like, oh, this could be fun to just incorporate it there for people to see.
I thought it was great. I really like the jokes. I find the references very funny, and I think people should be quiet during this film and pay attention.
Yeah.
Because I found the other couple, nothing against Eric, but I found the other couple just breaking me up because Everybody's been to that dinner party with this annoying couple you just want to slap in the face.
Yeah.
Because they're cheating somehow.
And their stuff is super funny, but it's more subtle, except for his bad Australian accent. But, like, in general, like, some of my favorite stuff is the stuff between them that's real subtle. And, like, it's I do feel, I was telling my wife recently that this is the silliest film that I've made. Like, the one that's just outright joke after joke after joke, right? And it gets a lot of laughs, but then people, like, laugh over things that I love in it. And I'm just like, okay, but I have to let that go because I'm like, oh, they're missing this thing, but, like, they're enjoying it, so who cares, right?
I would tell people to watch this twice. I got more out of it the second time, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Because I knew what you were doing the first time. Like, okay, I got the joke now. Now I can watch it, enjoy it more, and listen to more of the conversation and the nuances, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. I do think it's an easy second watch because once you know what's going to happen at the end, you're kind of like, oh, okay, I want to watch this again because I want to see what I've missed the first time because you're laughing at it.
Yeah. There's a lot of small little things in there that, like, you know, when he does the peewee, like, you know, I know I am, but I know you are, but what am I? And like Diana pulls back and goes,
yes.
And just like this simple little thing that, like, that's what kills me now after having watched it so many times.
Of course. Yeah. You've watched it hundreds of times, I'm sure.
Yeah.
The end, there's something that happens at the end. Diane says the big line. Mm-hmm. Now, was that ever written to be shown and cut, or you just said, nope, we got to keep it under 8-bit and I can't show that scene?
Which line are you talking about? Oh,
I don't want to ruin it. The end of the film when she says something to her friends.
Like the very, very end when they walk away from the couch.
Yes.
That was on purpose. I wanted you kind of to feel like, so you come into this feeling like Eric is your protagonist, right? And they all kind of ally against him, right? And so I kind of wanted it to be that they leave us, right? So, like, that was kind of my intention, was that we feel left out, right? They go to play another game without even bringing the audience.
Now, do you think you would revisit these characters? Because I think you've definitely left us stuff here that should be touched on again.
I haven't thought about it, no, but... You know, I'm not opposed to it ever.
Well, I'm just saying, because they say they're so competitive. So I kind of wanted more of those two.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to see another game night because they obviously there's some history and you introduce it so easily.
Right.
And just sort of drop it on me. And I was like, what? I want more. I want that.
No, I haven't really thought about that. But, you know, that could be fun.
Fair enough. So... when you're writing with Eric in mind, so every short you've ever done has Eric in it, you're telling me.
I mean, I think basically everything I've ever made, every film I've ever made. I've known the guy for more than 20 years. We used to be in a band together. We've done a lot together.
So it's just automatic. He's going to be in your next film automatically then.
Yeah.
Now, are you going to always try to use his impressions, or no? That's just one of those things you
use. That's the only time. That's the only time I've ever done that. Although I will say that in the action film, he is a side character, but he's like a Russian gangster enforcer character. So he's going to be doing full on Russian accent, all that, and he's fantastic at that too. So.
Okay, well, I only have two more questions for you because we only had 8 minutes and 40 seconds to ask you. So, because you're first time on the show, what's your favorite film?
Man, I hate that question.
Then skip it. Don't answer it.
No, but no, I just mean because it changes by the day. There's so many films that I love, and it's like at any minute it could be this film or it could be that film, right? I mean, I think one of my favorites of all time that will always stay up there is Wet Hot American Summer.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Just, I love that absurdist comedy, and so that's – it's a big influence on me, and I think that if I have one, that's what I usually go to.
I can see that for sure. Can you think of a film that you recommend to everybody that nobody's ever seen?
Nobody's ever seen?
I don't know. Wet Hot American Summer would fit in that category for sure for me, because most people have not even heard of it.
Yeah, I mean, they did end up getting two Netflix the spinoffs of it. So I think it probably got some more prominence with that. I don't know, offhand... I've seen some good festival films. Joe Returns a Video, the guy who runs the Laughing Dog. It's one of my favorite films I've seen.
I love Joe Returns a Video. The guy without the pants driving the car makes me laugh every time.
Yeah. Yeah. There was another one I saw that I'm trying to track down. I can't find it, called Great Choice, about a woman who gets stuck in a Red Lobster commercial that just blew me away. And I saw it at Nashville Film Festival like 3 years ago, and I've not been able to find it since.
Okay, now you got me interested to look for this. Great choice.
I even recently messaged the filmmaker through Vimeo, hoping that he would respond to me, and has not yet, because I just want to see it again so bad.
If I run across it, I will send you an email and say I found it. Where can anybody find your films, or just on the festival circuit?
So First Impressions is just on the festival circuit. We just started in September with the festivals. Like I said, we just released You're the Puppet yesterday. I have Random Knowledge and Here Comes the Neighborhood that are both out there. They're all on my website, roguealchemypictures.com. And you can watch all three of them there.
Perfect. Thank you for your time and have a great evening.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Thanks for having me.